The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at his rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written in the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd his people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem, telling them, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at his rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me summon from the readings and from our celebration of Epiphany a spiritual thought that might be of value for me and for you. The word Epiphany comes from a Greek word meaning showing, the revelation of Jesus to the Gentile world represented by the Magi. I know we sang about three kings when we were entering here, but there's nothing in the scriptures that say they were kings. They were not kings. The only reason we assign kingship to them comes from the responsorial psalm, Psalm 72, which says, "The kings of Tarshish and the isles will come to worship the Messiah." There's also a reference in Isaiah in chapter 60 about kings coming to pay tribute to the Messiah. And because of this, we moved away from Magi and we call them kings. Magi were from the east, they were said to be wise men. In the 15th century, Nicholas of Cusa, this distinguished German philosopher, spoke about learned ignorance. Learned ignorance was when you discover and you become aware of how little you know. And that, says Nicholas Cusa, that's wisdom. Wisdom is learned, ignorance. Learned ignorance, that's wisdom, says Nicholas Cusa. And these men were wise because they didn't have the answers. Now, there was a time in the church where if we asked a question, it was a sign our faith was weak. But now, like the Magi, we ask questions and it's a sign that our faith is strong. There's nothing in the scripture that says they were three in number. In some of the Eastern Orthodox churches, they're named as 12. They're called 12 instead of three. The only reason we have three is that three gifts are mentioned, and one is assigned to each of the Magi. So much about the Magi. But what about the teaching of this moment? I want to anchor the teaching into a word called kenosis. Kenosis is a Greek word, and it means emptying. It means giving up things, detachment, emptying. It's assigned to Jesus in a special way because St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, I know some of you at home are looking this up, it's in chapter 2 in Philippians, where it says, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Therefore, he emptied himself and took the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. That was the way in which the infinite God was revealed. The emptying is also comes up in St. Paul in his second letter to Corinth, in chapter 12, where he says, I was given a thorn in the flesh, some burden, some reversal, some failure in his life. And I asked Jesus to take it away. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And therefore he said, I glory in my weakness, for in my weakness God is revealed. So when you speak about kenosis, it means that when Jesus is born into humanity, in the Christmas story, he anoints humanity. He gives humanity the clothing of something very holy. So let me look at what that means to us. When I was a young priest, failure was something dark. Failure was something that had to be hidden. Failure wasn't a moment of grace or enlightenment. Failure had to be denied and concealed. But when you read about kenosis in the Gospels, you find out that failure is a moment of grace. Failure is a call of the Holy Spirit. You'll find that over and over again in human experience. Solzhenitsyn, in his Gulag Archipelago, speaks about when he was young, he was powerful, and he was certain, and he was in charge, and he had authority. And therefore, he said, I was a tyrant. And I only discovered the meaning of life when on rotting prison straw, it came to him, the difference between good and evil, between light and darkness. But it had to come to him in a time of great reversal. That was the time of revelation. We're all familiar with Rembrandt and his prodigal son, that great painting of the prodigal son. And Rembrandt painted this very late in his life. By the time he came to do this great piece of art, three of his children had died. His first wife died. His second wife died. He was impoverished. He lost all his money. His fame and his fortune were gone, and he was bereft of all that the world could give him. And only then could he do the masterpiece which reveals God's infinite love. Only in great failure and great travail could he do that. You'll find that Dostoevsky couldn't write The Brothers Karamazov unless he went through enormous, enormous pain and suffering and reversal in his life. Look at the apostles. They all failed. The 21st chapter of John's Gospel talks about the failure of Peter, how he had denied Christ. But Christ redeems him in his failure. The Holy Spirit will come upon the apostles only when they have failed. There is no proclamation to be made except by one who has failed. I have failed. Everybody has failed. We must fail. Otherwise, we do not understand kenosis, or we do not understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. Reflect on this and how this fits into your life. Sometimes we get very discouraged in failure, and yet failure is the moment in which the grace of God is given to us. It's not the world that teaches this, it's the gospel that teaches this. I want you to think in your life about someone who really loved you. Think of one person. You may have more than one person, but think of one person who really loved you in your life. The person who forgave you generously. Think about the person who would stand by you in any kind of trial or difficulty in your life. The person who understood you, who gave you time. That's a special gift this person gave you. It's a safe place where you can be totally human and you will be accepted and you will be blessed. You will be anointed in your humanity. Think about that person. That person is a very sacred remembrance. When you think about that person, reflect on the infinite love of God. We have degraded and diminished the love of God through legalism and through harsh judgment, through excluding people instead of welcoming and healing and affirming people. We have diminished the love of God by emphasizing the negative of a failure rather than the moment of grace. The voice that is legalistic and judgmental is not the voice of kenosis. It's not the voice of somebody who has emptied themselves in the likeness of Christ and accepted fully their humanity. When you think about the person, I've reflected in prayer about that in the last few weeks, and I wondered, when you think about this person, it's very special, and yet it's limited. We all have a threshold because we're so human, we're ideal in our ambitions, but we don't always realize the promises we made and the gifts we want to share. But think about that. If you heard in prayer, in your prayer, the voice of Jesus saying, "You are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter," something far in excess of the person who has loved you in your life. If you heard the voice of infinite love telling you that the love of God is always with you, no matter who you are, whatever happens to you in your life, so why should you live a good life and follow Jesus Christ? Not because you're afraid, not because you want to keep a law, but because you have experienced the infinite love of Christ. The manner of your living is a response to the experience of God's infinite love in your poverty, in the fragile vulnerability of who you are, in your darkest moments, to feel and experience the infinite love of God. That's the teaching of kenosis. When the infinite God became human and entered into the story of our lives, wherever you are, whatever your condition in life, it's an amazing possibility that is given only to those who have faith. I was thinking about that, and a song came back to me that I sang last week at the Mass, but it teaches about human love, about the gift and the ideal of human love. But if you call then into your prayer and say, the human experience is merely a reflection, a very limited reflection of God's infinite love. When you're in sin, when you're in grace, wherever you are in your life, listen to the voice of God, the infinite love of God touching you, embracing you, blessing you, encouraging you and lifting up your spirit. So transpose the human love expressed in this song to a prayer in which you hear the infinite love of God touching your life. And here's the song.
I'll walk before you through the passing of life, through days of light and darkness and of peace. And in your heart, love's tender words I'll hide. I'll walk before you through the eventide. I'll walk before you through the passing nights, beneath the stars of night, ablaze with light. And in your heart, love's tender words I'll hide. I'll walk before you to the eventide. I'll walk before you through the passing years, through days of cloud and sunshine, joys and tears. And when the great cold comes and sunset gleams, I'll walk before you through the land of dreams.
Walk in the presence of God. Amen.